Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We are live here at Built Bar.
Delicious protein bars.
Those Built Puffs are awesome, by the way.
Yeah, the Built Puffs are really good. But you and I have our favorite here in front of us.
Yes.
This is the cookie dough chunk.
I'm saving this for later. Yeah, why don't you break that open right now and let's try that one.
I'll do it in the break. But
why don't you break me off half of that one?
I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this for when it's really needed.
Did you get this off the wall? So there's more of them out there.
We'll get more of the.
They did limit us to 25 bars.
Off the wall.
Off the wall.
A piece.
Yeah.
Which isn't enough. I feel shorted. But this cookie dough chunk, it is obviously dipped in pure milk chocolate, which is incredible because it still stays under 150 calories. So you got 150 calories and you've got 15 grams of protein. 15 grams of protein in this thing.
Yeah.
This tasty little bar. And low calories, low carbs. You know, this bar, I think it's only 4 grams of net carbs. And it's delicious, Scotty. It sets itself apart with how tasty it is.
It's really delightful.
Well, that's what people need to understand with these bars.
Go to built.com and use the promo code ZONE, and that will get you 10% off. All right, so let's talk some BYU. Kalani Sitake is going to join us coming up at 12:30. So there's a couple things I wanted to get to. First off, BYU jumps out to the big lead, cruising. Everything seems like it's going the way we all thought it would. And then all of a sudden, South Florida catches fire. They kick a couple field goals. Then the offense starts rolling. And then they've got a really good quarterback who can really run the football, make key throws, and got this team back into the game. And it ends up being a one-possession game before it's all said and done. Now, South Florida could do nothing to stop BYU. And at no point did I really feel like BYU was in danger of losing this game. Because you knew that even when South Florida got it to a one-possession game, they had to go for the onside kick. Because the only way they were going to have a chance to win that game was to steal a possession. Because as soon as BYU's offense got the ball back, you knew they were going to march right down the field and either get points or just run out the clock, which they ended up doing. So I never really was overly concerned about BYU in this game. But, Hans, I know that you got a lot of questions and a lot of people on the postgame show wanting to know, were there problems in that South Florida game that you saw from BYU that could represent and cause a problem, you know, is a fundamental problem that BYU is going to be dealing with for the remainder of the season?
Oh, man. That's a question we could spend the next 3 hours on. And I'm not even kidding. I was on video from about 6:15 until about 9:10 today. So about 3 hours watching just the second half of that BYU South Florida game, trying to, because it's tough. I'm not in the game planning meetings. I'm not in personnel meetings. So I'm trying to analyze things and give BYU fans the best perspective I can. To answer that question, Scotty, there's a couple of things that I can start with, like a couple of base answers for that. Number one is if you don't have Tyler Batty and Nasa Mahe back, then that's a problem against Utah State. Because this forced BYU into different personnel situations that there were guys trying to hold the edge that shouldn't be holding the edge. Okay, so let me ask this. I'm gonna throw these names at you and just be honest with me if you've ever heard them. Jackson Fisher, John Nelson, Blake Mangelson, Morgan Piper, Drew Jensen, Alden Tofa, Jacob Robinson, Ammon Hanneman, and Hayden Livingston.
Sounds like a lineup of the World's Strongest Men competition. You know, was it Magnus Man Magnuson or something like that back in the day?
Yeah. Have you heard of any of these names?
A couple vaguely, but not really, no.
Those are the guys that were on the field for the second half.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the only time I've heard of them, by the way, is hearing their name get called out in that second half.
So, BYU fans, you're probably listening, and maybe you follow recruiting, but Jackson Fisher's a freshman. John Nelson's a freshman. Blake Mangelson is a freshman. Ben Bywater was on the field at the same time. He's a freshman. Jacob Robinson is a freshman. Ammon Hanneman is a freshman. Hayden Livingston's a sophomore. Morgan Piper's a sophomore. And Drew Jensen's a sophomore. That's who you had on the field. That's who was working in a defensive backfield. You had a couple of juniors out there. I mentioned Alden Tofa. He's a junior. And Caleb Hayes, number 18, the corner that came in to try to play corner that South Florida picked on, he's just not that good. They picked on him a bit. He doesn't get a ton of reps because he's third string. He's a guy that is going to play behind Ellis when Ellis is back, and a guy that's going to play behind Heron when Heron's back. And his reps are going to be limited. And South Florida keyed in on him and got him a few times. Scott, it's frustrating to me when I see guys that I don't know, like number 93, who's trying to set an edge against South Florida and is getting pressed on the edge and dipping inside and losing contain. And there's just, he's not ready. It's frustrating to me. And I mean, it's tough because you know how I feel about Gabe Summers, number 98. He's a fantastic defensive lineman. He's a three technique. He's an interior defensive lineman. They were putting him on the outside, asking him to set the edge. No, because I've got to cover from hash to sideline. I'll continue to break it down later.
Let's go to Donovan Mitchell. It's Jazz Media Day, as you hear from all the players, as well as Justin Zanuck and Quinn Snyder. But now here's Donovan Mitchell addressing the media.
Watching the regular season, you know, the work we've put in, and obviously coming up short. Obviously, you know, we weren't as healthy as we wanted to be, but you know, I think this is a big year for us just as a whole because, you know, we're not going to sneak up on anybody. You know, last year, you know, we weren't necessarily everybody's eyes, you know, top eight. You know, now we're here and people see us as that. And it's for us, it's we got to continue to do what we do, but come out with a fire and a hunger and an edge that we really, I can't say we've had before. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just feel like on a higher level. And I think that's something that, you know, we all understand. We put the work in this summer. We're going to continue to do it to training camp and throughout the season.
Speaking of the work this summer, how much were you able to do just with having to deal with the rehab and the ankle recovery?
I was able to do a good amount. Excuse me. I think, you know, I took probably 3 weeks of not doing anything, no basketball, no rehab, and just giving my body time to just relax. I think that was big for myself. I think that was really a good decision for me because it helped me when I got back to it. You know, that fire and that hunger I was talking about, you when you're away from something for so long that you love, it's, you come back and you're ready, you're determined, you're ready to go. And, you know, I was able to go down to Miami and work with my team. And I think that was something for me that I was able to accelerate my process and, you know, get back to being who I am.
You're good now 100%?
Yeah, good to go.
With the offseason acquisitions, has this team gotten better in your mind? Yeah, show it on the court, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've addressed a few things. I think the big thing we saw in the offseason was defensively we needed, you know, some different looks. You know, obviously we're all going to get better in our individual selves, the guys who are coming back. But, you know, I think, you know, bringing in Eric, who's a dog, Rudy Gay, a veteran who can switch 1-5, who can shoot the three ball, Hassan Whiteside, and you really don't need to speak about Hassan. We understand what he brings as far as rim protection. You know, I think, you know, he's a defensive anchor as well as having Rudy. And I think that's fantastic for us. And I think we are better, but we got to go out there and prove it and got to go out there and do it.
When the series against the Clippers ended, you'd mentioned like that was going to be something you were thinking about all the time, the grocery store line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you like, because I know even when we got to the end of last season, mm-hmm. we were still talking about the dentistry. Mm-hmm. How long does that stick in your mind as a frustration before it turns into motivation?
I think the frustration left probably when Milwaukee won, because now everybody's off. Yeah, I think everybody's done. You know, and now it turned into, I mean, there's always motivation, I should say. There's always going to be motivation, but I think it turned into from frustration to now, because that kind of lined up into when I'm starting to work back to getting in shape. And, you know, now it comes into your reps. It comes into your, like, that's where that feel comes from for me. So, you know, there's still motivation from the Denver series. There's still motivation from all those different things, because at the end of the day, you know, we've had, you know, pretty good regular seasons and we've had some great seasons, but we haven't really gotten to you know, the pinnacle of the top. And so for us, it's like, how do we, and for myself, it's how do we get there, you know, and how do we continue to do that, continue to basically get into uncharted territory for a lot of us, you know, outside of a few of us on the team. And I think that's where that comes in, because that's definitely what's fueling me. You know, and I said it after we beat, after we lost to Denver, I said, you know, I told the guys on the bus, like, look, you know, let this eat at you, you know. And I think it's the same with this, you know, whether it's, you're supposed to do 8 reps, do 10, like, and little things like that, just kind of changing your mindset and kind of getting you to a point where you're really uncomfortable, but in a good way, you know, because you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable. That's all that is with us. And that's what great teams do. You know, they're able to adapt to different situations and able to put themselves in positions to win at a high level.
What was the feeling when Mike re-signed? Was it relief that you kind of knew you were going to be able to compete at that same high level?
I kind of knew Mike was going to re-sign. I made the joke on Twitter that, you know, I locked him in his house like they did with, what's his name, DeAndre Jordan. But, you know, I had a feeling, man. It was just, we were, and I don't know if he spoke on this, but we spoke on the plane about, you know, what he was going to do. And, you know, I think for him, you know, he didn't say it, but I kind of felt it. You know, you don't just, you know, you kind of need to run it back. You know, you feel like we could have been, you know, playing in the finals. We could have felt like we could have won, you know, and it's easy to say that, you know, when you're removed from it. You know, obviously they put the work, those teams obviously put the work in and whatnot, but, you know, I felt like we could be there, you know, and if we came back and ran it back and continued to work, I think we have got willing and healthy for starters, but also continue to do what we do. I think we can get to that point, but it's a lot of work. It's not a given just because Mike resigns that we're going to be back, but, you know, it definitely puts us in a position to be there.
We got the word a couple hours ago that they've changed some of the health and performance staff this year. Just kind of curious what your level of kind of comfort is with the current staff and kind of how you see that staff working together with your staff on, you know, kind of getting you ready through.
Right. And most of the staff that's here, you know, I've known since I've been here. We've already started working together with my staff, and things have been great and seamless. So I'm excited. Like I said, they came into Miami when I was down there, and things have been moving great, you know, moving forward. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just continue to make sure I'm healthy, you know, as well as the team, but myself, for my own sake, I'm healthy. My ankle's good. And I think that's really it.
Beyond health, what do you want to do with your game this year?
I think there's another level I can get to. I've said that every year to y'all, but I think it's the truth. I think for me, obviously being able to be more efficient, not just when you think of efficiency, you think of shooting percentage typically. But for me, it's, you know, turnovers, it's defense, you know, being able to be, when I'm on the floor, you know, your presence is felt, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just being able to be a leader on the floor and vocal, as well as being able to do it through action. You know, I can do it on the offensive end, but picking it up defensively as well, I think it'd be huge.
You're coming. When we talked to Justin Zanuck earlier, and he said that health is the most important thing, especially for delivering a healthy roster to the playoffs. And that might come this season, especially after another quick turnaround, maybe less minutes to try to conserve you guys. And some guys might get more rest days, stuff like that.
Right.
Is that something that you would push back against, or would you welcome it?
I'm all for, you know, ways to make sure we're healthy, you know, especially after, maybe if you asked me last year before I got hurt, maybe my answer might be different, but understanding the importance of it and the longevity of being healthy, not just for the season, but for the playoffs as well. I think I'm all for ways to help, you know, help us become as healthy and be as healthy as possible, you know. But if, like I said, if I'm feeling good and, you know, at the end of the day, I trust my staff, I trust our coaching staff. And I think that the great part about it is we've all working together. You know, it's not like, you know, here and here we're working together. And I think that's where those conversations come in. And, you know, if we're comfortable, we're comfortable. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, if we're fighting for, you know, God forbid we're fighting for the eighth spot, you know, I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? But like, I think for us is being smart, and then obviously working hard, but also being smart, because, you know, it's a long journey to get to the playoffs, but now it's also a longer journey to stay there and be at the top and be at your best every day.
So it's fair to say maybe that the late season injury might have given you a different perspective on kind of what it takes to stay healthy through that part of the season.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't even just say that. I think it's given me a you know, a different perspective, and I've grown to be appreciative of it, because it's helped me understand a lot of different things. You know, as far as on the court, it's helped me understand, you know, what I can do to be better as a player, you know, what I can be better as a leader, but also understanding, like you said, like the health component. You know, there we were at a point where guys were at that point in the season. I believe we were at a point where guys were sitting games and we were doing that in a sense. But I think now it's okay. You know, understanding that, look, we want to be, you know, the last team standing. You know, I'm not saying that we're willing to sit in five games, but, you know, if it's what's needed, you know, and that's the biggest thing, if it's what's needed, you know, it's not just like I'm just going to sit. That's not in my DNA. That's not my personality. That's not in any of our DNA, the personalities, but understanding that, you know, the goal is to be playing into June. So that's whatever it takes to get there.
How important is
that the team's 100% vaccinated? And what does it mean to have, you know, that not be a distraction, not have to answer questions about that, and know that, you know, guys are
going
to be available
whenever you go? I think it's great that we're all vaccinated. I think, you know, I think we've seen obviously on the news of, you know, got different guys from different teams, but at the end of the day, it's a personal decision. But, you know, I definitely encourage not just my teammates, but I encourage people to get vaccinated so we can get past this. You know, I think that's something that's definitely important. But for us, I think as a team, I think it's something that we can continue to like you said, be available. We are available, and we don't have to worry about, you know, going to, I think it's New York and California, right? Yeah. I think those are two places that are, you know, you'll be running into some issues. So I think for us is just being able to be there and be healthy. I think that's and be able to be available. I think that's the biggest thing for us. So I'm glad we're all vaccinated and ready to go.
How important do you think seeding is?
I think that's a good question. I think obviously it's different now, I think, than my first 3 years. Because of the play-in tournament. So I think it's a little different because of the play-in tournament means, you know, there's, I think it's 3 through 6, know they're playing for like 5 days, and then 1 and 2 don't. But, you know, obviously that didn't matter because the Phoenix Suns made it to the finals anyway. But I think for us, you know, you always want to be top two, top seed in the West. But like I said, the goal is to be the last team standing, you know, and there's, I don't know the stats behind what team is what seed going into the playoffs and whatnot, but, you know, I think we have the personnel to be the top team, and we have to continue to put the work in. You know, I think there's going to be, it's going to be a fight in the West. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But whatever it takes for us to be the last team, you know, whether that's us being the 1 seed or the 5 seed, we're all pushing to be the 1. We don't push to be 5th. You know what I mean? We're not out here just saying like, all right, let's go be the 5th seed. You know, and, you know, that's not the goal. The goal is to be the best team in the league. But on top of that, the goal is to be the last team in the league standing too. So obviously we're all pushing to be the best team coming out of the regular season. But then also win.
Sorry about that. Are you guys at the point where, you know, the regular, I don't want to say the regular season doesn't matter, but are you at the point where you're just going to be solely judged by what you do in the playoffs?
I want to say yes, because that discredits a lot of the work we put in to get there. And I think, but I think there is a point where we've shown what we can do pretty much every regular season since I've been here. We've shown what team we can be. But we gotta make this push, man. Like, this, it's no secret. You know, my first year, we had a great season, obviously low expectations, you know, obviously losing Gordon and things like that, being underdogs. And then our second year, we played the Rockets, another underdog, didn't fare well for us. And then the Denver series, we really didn't know who we were as a team. Bojan wasn't there, Mike wasn't there, but we saw glimpses. And then you have last year where we saw what we could be throughout the regular season, and then we ended up not healthy. So I think for us, this is a big year for us as far as expectations within ourselves, not even just the outside perspective, but just for us. Like, I think this is a year where it's like, look, man, like we can do this. And it's a matter of putting the work in for the full 82 and then getting there for the final 16 wins. Like, that's what we kind of, I guess you can say, yes, that's going to define us. That's obviously where a lot of players are defined in their careers too, outside of the team aspect. So I think for us, it's like, okay, we can be this team. You know, we can do in the regular season, but playoff time, it's like, look, this is where we got to go out there and improve ourselves.
Chemistry is such a big part of this team. Mm-hmm. There's some new faces you're bringing in, but to have your best friend from childhood, and how much does that help facilitate that chemistry?
Man, I think it's great, man. You know, it's one of those things where we had the opportunity to make it happen. I was like, man, like this, it was kind of the, it was, I didn't think it was actually going to happen. You know what I mean? I thought it was like, man, it was like one of those things, like, I'll be great. Oh man, that'd be dope. But we didn't really think it actually happened. And to have Eric here, you know, obviously we grew up across the street from each other, played the same AU team, same church, same everything. Damn near my best friend to this day. To have him on a team that's already great with chemistry, I think is incredible. And he's more of a, more of a shit talker than I am. So I think that's what's going to create, you know, bring light to the locker room in a sense. And I think on the court, you know, he's going to be there for us, be a dog and just be, you know, a guy who's there for us. You know, I think, and at the same token, you know, he's in his third year. You know, he's still learning as well, you know, and that's where it helps having guys like, you know, Rudy Gay coming in, you have Mike, you have having the staff that we have, being able to kind of facilitate and kind of just be there for us as a whole. You know, obviously I'm 5 years in too, but we're all relatively young in a sense. So for us, just kind of having that, you know, and enjoying ourselves and living out our childhood dream, but also taking care of business as well.
Not to sound crass, but sorry, your financial situation changes significantly this year. You're not on your rookie deal anymore. How does that change life off the floor and then pressure on the floor?
To be honest with you, I've kind of felt that pressure since the year two, to be honest with you. I think after what I did my first year, you know, it was kind of like an expectation. You know, it's kind of, you can go one or two ways, and you can have be a one hit wonder, you can take off. So I feel like as far as on the court pressure, I don't feel like it's any different. I think, you know, off the floor, I'm able to obviously take care of my family. Like I said, I'm blessed that I don't have to play this game again and be taken care of for life. And I'm truly blessed and honored, but you know, there's more to it. You know, I played this game, you know, obviously to win, to be a champion, to be the best player and I could possibly be. So for me, that's really what it is, and help this team win. That's really my goal, but I don't think it adds any pressure on me.
There's some different personnel on the roster, and it kind of, especially with Rudy Gay, gives you more of an opportunity to play some small ball five and play some different looks that you maybe haven't seen, maybe especially last season. Mm. Are you looking forward to the opportunity to play kind of different style?
Sorry, Mike's back there. But yeah, I think so. I think it definitely gives us a different look. You know, I think being able to not be schemed on one look, I think is definitely helpful. And then having a guy like Rudy, who's, like I said, he's been in the league, he's been on playoff teams, play with Mike, so, you know, play one of our for so many years, play with our point guard. And then also being able, he shoots, I think it was 40% from three, something like that. My numbers could be off, but I think that adding that dynamic, you know, at the five, I think it'd be huge, especially offensively, but also defensively as well.
We got time for one more.
What's it like kind of re-engaging with the community or at the BYU game and just starting to open up? Are you like connecting with Jazz fans and just the Utah community in general more?
Yeah, I think, you know, I really wanted to go to that game because I've never been to a football game at BYU. I've heard, you know, but things, and obviously I went to a basketball game, I think it was my rookie year, but school was out or class was out for December, so I've never really got to experience the full environment. But also bringing the new guys, you know, with me as well, and being able to have them receive the love and enjoy the Utah fans and understand what this environment is going to be in about, you know, a month. So I think, well, not even a month, less than that. So I think for myself, just being able to be a part of the community, that's always one thing that I've always been, you know, I've been doing. And I think I enjoy it. You know, it's something that, you know, at the end of the day, it's weird to say, but I'm not too far removed from college. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something that, you know, keeps the child and you keeps the happiness going. Cause obviously this is, basketball is great, but it's business. It's part of life, and it becomes stressful at times. It's no secret. You know, we all have our jobs, right? It's just, it is what it is. So for me, just keep being able to be, you know, Donovan Mitchell, but also be like, you know, a kid in a sense as well, and also inspire people and with my presence as well. So that's dope.
Thanks, Doc.
There you go, Donovan Mitchell addressing the media. He and a bunch of Jazz players down at the BYU South Florida game. Fun atmosphere. And now they head to Vegas. A couple reasons why. Justin Zanuck brought up a couple points this morning on his. They're doing some construction to the Zions Bank Basketball Center right now. And they're doing some things there. And it allows some new guys to get together and with the veterans. And it's a, you know, look, they put you in the middle of nowhere.
Terre Haute.
To try to promote some team bonding. So They'll only be down there for a few days, come back near the end of the week. And but Vegas isn't a bad place to build a little team bonding.
It can be a bad place for distractions.
Yes.
I hope that's not a problem.
No.
My first thought when I'm like, hey, let's go have training camp. It's not Vegas. It's like, hey, let's go have training camp. Delta?
Let's go to Price. Let's go to Delta.
Let's go to Price, man. Midway, Utah? What, you want like more leisurely, like laid back environment where you can play some golf back there and... You know, you got Soldier Hollow, you got 218s, gorgeous area. You could play camp back. You could have camp back there.
That's a good point. All right, Mike Conley now addressing the media right here on the Zone Sports Network.
And I had tried to change it probably 2 years, year and a half ago. They told me that I had to wait a whole year. So I wore 10 again last year, and I actually forgot all about the number change by – you know, the off season, the season coming up until Adam Klauke, our equipment manager, sent me a picture of my jersey. And I was like, what is this? He's like, yeah, we got your number changed. I was like, oh, I forgot all about it. So I was like, that's great. So I'm excited to be 11 again.
Mike, how excited are you to play with Rudy Gay again? What's it been like just the last few weeks? Kind of, have you talked to him about Quinn's system or anything about the team?
Yeah, I'm really excited to play with Rudy Gay again because, you know, we're close off the court anyway. And to see him walking around the hallways in the locker room is just like unreal, you know, kind of like as if nothing happened, no time changed in between the last time we were teammates. Still the same guy. We still talk about the same things. We're just older, you know, families and kids and stuff like that. And, we already know what he brings as far as an athlete and his ability to stretch the floor and his ability to make our team that much better. But as a person, as a player, as a friend, as a teammate, he's one of the best. So I think, you know, we got a good one. And I think we're all excited about it.
This might be a silly question. Have you played with the new ball yet?
Yeah, we've had the ball pretty much all off season. And we've played 5-on-5 here in Utah. It's cool, you know.
Is it any different?
Not much. They just feel brand new. You know, all the brand new basketballs kind of have a little bit less grip and a little bit different. But I think they're making a, you know, they'll be fine once everybody kind of wears them down.
Health, obviously, a big part of this team's success going into this year. Does this team have even more depth this year than last year to handle? You know, if there are injuries or load management issues, give guys days off.
Well, yeah, I think we did address a lot in the offseason. Like not just Rudy Gay, but, you know, Hassan, Eric, Love, Jared, Butler. And you think about guys we already had, Trent, Mie, and, you know, guys who have been here for a while and understand, you know, what kind of team we're going to be and their roles as far as, you know, what they're going to give us on a nightly basis. And all the guys we have are ready to go. All of them are ready for, you know, one night they don't play, the next night, you know, I'm not playing or Don's not playing or Joe's not playing. Hey, you know, you go in here, fill in, you're going to start. You're going to be the guy off the first guy off the bench. Like, it's just, you know, we have that kind of camaraderie and that kind of trust in each guy. So hopefully with the guys we've constructed the team with, it'll help kind of stretches out a little bit more as opposed to, you know, kind of having to wear us down as much during the season.
How do you, speaking of that, I mean, how do you stay healthy this year and be healthy when it not, you know, be healthy when it counts?
Yeah. I honestly, last year I felt better than I've ever felt as physically, as far as, you know, movement and defense and sliding and shooting, speed, strength, all that. So a lot of it I'm going to continue to do. There's some things I'm going to add in from this offseason's training. And I was just talking to somebody earlier. I picked up yoga, you know, almost religiously now. So I think just being able to mix strength with mobility and flexibility for me is a big thing. You know, if I'm not playing one night due to, you know, back-to-back 4 and 5 nights, whatever it is, take not just resting, but taking that time to, you know, go in and do an hour and a half of yoga and you know, on top of doing whatever else you're doing that day, and really making a point to do that. Cause everything else, I feel like I've checked a lot of boxes as far as, you know, health concern and diet and how serious I take everything else.
Do you anticipate having to maybe manage minutes to do the best of that stuff, stuff like that?
Well, seeing that I did it last year, I think that it is safe to say that it's possible it happens again. You know, we have a team that's capable of winning with multiple guys out on different nights, and that's what makes our team a little different than a lot of teams. So you don't necessarily need everybody every night. So there probably be some nights where there'll be a couple, you know, sore spots on some guys, and they might, you know, say, hey, take this night and be ready for the next three or four. So hopefully, you know, it's not as many, but you know, we do have those nights where we just need to have maintenance and get ready for the stretch run.
How much have you been able to golf with Ryan this offseason?
I've golfed with Ryan quite a bit. We just, right before training camp, this week we went on a trip for 3 or 4 days and played a little Ryder Cup style.
Yeah.
Two-team deal, so it was fun.
What is he like on the golf course, and what do you kind of learn from just kind of spending that much time around, you know, guy in Ryan's shoes?
Honestly, he's the guy I think everybody, you know, he shows himself to be. Everybody that knows him, whether it's just through social media or never met him before, like, he's the same guy that you see on TV. He's competitive as heck. You know, I think that's what makes him such a fun owner to be around. Whether it is golf, you know, while we're golfing, he's constantly like, so, hey, bro, how can we get better? I'm like, man, we don't have any more money. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you mean it by like adding guys in or what are you trying to do? He's like, no, I just want to, like, you know, how can I improve what I do, or like, how can I make it easier for you guys, you know? But so he's always just constantly thinking and constantly trying to improve an experience for players or whoever there is involved in anything he's involved in.
You've had three very different training camps now. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that has been consistent that you feel like you've been able to hold on to that now you're seeing as a, you know, a pattern going into your third season with the Jazz?
Well, I think what's helped is a lot of our guys come back a few weeks before training camp. So that's been a consistent theme, is we've kind of always had time to basically just play, and we all know the plays and we all know what we're doing. So we're kind of essentially having our own little mini camp before training camp, which allows us not to have to, you know, do too much during training camp or overdo it or have two practices a day and all that. Like, you know, I think we've kind of set ourselves, and we do our work early, allowing ourselves time during training camp to just hone in on different things that we really want to focus on.
What do you think of having training camp in Vegas?
I think having training camp in Vegas will be fun. I think it'll be, you know, change of scenery is never bad. I've been on a few, you know, destination training camps back in Memphis and different places. And, it's a good time because I think players get to just focus on basketball and focus on each other, frankly, you know, just being around each other more so than you would be if you were at home. We'd all go home to our families and lives and then come back to work. And now we're stuck in the same hotels, we're eating the same food, we're in dinner, you know, sessions with each other. And so I think it's good for us to just bond and have a few days.
You mentioned that you love Jared Butler. What have you seen out of him kind of in the last couple of weeks being in Salt Lake? Because we didn't get to see him in summer league or anything like that.
You know, first of all, he's just a really, really good dude. Seems like he's really willing to listen, which is important as a young player coming in, and willing to learn, willing to work. You know, every time I come in the morning, I get there pretty early because my kids get me up pretty early. Me and Joe are kind of one of the first two in there, and Jared's, you know, not far behind or already beat us there. So it's cool to kind of see that work ethic in a young guy, and all our young guys, frankly, Trent going down the line, me, all of them have that same mindset. But, you know, Jared has shown a lot that he can, you know, run the point guard position, can score the ball, can, you know, be physical defensively. He'll learn a lot as he goes. You know, still got a lot of room to improve, but it's been impressive.
Do
Rudy said that there's kind of a sense among the team that there's, you know, an acknowledgement that this group can do something special, but also the realization that not many of these windows come along during a career. How does that kind of manifest itself among the mood of the team and the habits and whatnot heading into the season?
Well, I think it helps to have a veteran presence on this team when, in regards to realizing that this doesn't last forever, like that this window is not going to be here, you know, forever, that you have to take advantage of each day, each opportunity, because like we look at last year, how close I think a lot of teams felt like they were to have an opportunity to do something special. And we felt like we were right there in that bucket, and how different things can be just like that. And a little luck here, you know, injury free here, or, you know, different things at different points can change careers. And we have to be ready to embrace it when it does happen, when things go wrong, when they're going good. And I think this team, you know, having the veteran presence that we do, guys who've been in the playoffs, you know, last 5, 6, 7 years, have all learned lessons from loss and heartbreak. So hopefully we just continue to build around that and use all that as motivation to treat every day like, hey, you know, this might be our last time as a team. Hopefully it's not our last time. This year might be our last year to be able to compete for this and treat it like that. And then, you know, go from there.
What are your thoughts on the rule changes they're putting in this year with kind of the offensive fouls and the jumping into guys being kind of taken out of the game? Is that changing anything about what you do and then kind of what you think about it for the game overall?
Yeah, the rule changes don't really change much of my game. I'll still play the same. I know a lot of guys will play the same, but I'm interested to see how long the rule changes last. You know, normally they're pretty tight about it early. As the season gets on, it becomes more lenient. So we'll just see how it all plays out. As always, the rules are different.
Do you think it can help perimeter defense?
I think essentially it could if it's consistent enough. I think it does give the defense a little bit more of an edge there, because so far in the last few years, the rules have been changed so much and so heavily towards the offensive side of the ball, to where you really can't play defense as well as you want to, compared to earlier on in say my career. But yeah, so I think it could help.
Donovan says he's going to take his game to a new level. What do you think that is for him?
I think he's an all NBA player. I thought he was last year. I think that he really had a lot of things going into the offseason that bulletin board material, you know, typical stuff that you go home and you look at it every day and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be better at this. And all offseason he's been training. He's been locked in, and I know that he's excited to get back to work and show the world what he can do.
Thanks, Mike.
Right. Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
There you go. Mike Conley, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. As tell you what, you know what? It's an interesting vibe on these press conferences. And you heard Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley go back to back. But it you get the sense there from those guys. It's like, got to win now.
There's a window.
All right. We're live here at Built Bar. All you have to do is go to Built.com, use the promo code ZONE, get you 10% off, whether it's the Built Puffs, whether it's the protein balls, or just the bars that you've come to know and love. All you have to do is go to Built.com, promo code ZONE, get you 10% off right now, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Aggies, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Aggies welcome in BYU to Maverick Stadium for another chapter in their long rivalry with the Cougars. Listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game and then catch all the play-by-play action, beginning with the Aggie pregame show Friday at 6 on 1280 AM, with a postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to all the play-by-play action, nobody brings you better coverage of Aggie football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. You know the fun thing about being down here in Utah County? Go swing by and get a slider at Marley's. Mm-hmm. Just off I-15 and inside that Tippecanoe's Harley-Davidson. Slider, Rickster, the fajita, which has turned out to be my personal favorite.
The breakfast burrito.
The breakfast burritos, the shoestring fries, the shakes. It's all there for you at Marley's Gourmet Sliders. All right. Busy weekend. As it's an interesting note on BYU in terms of injuries. There are a lot of people that got banged up in that game. Mm-hmm. The question is going to be who's going to be able to play in that game against Utah State with one less day of preparation and one less day of healing. I anticipate Jaren Hall will be back out on the field in that game.
Agreed.
But some of the others, you know, Mason Wake, LaChance. Hold on. I wrote a list of some guys that were dealing with some injuries.
Batty and Mahe.
Neil Pau, Caleb Christensen.
Neil will be back.
Tyler Batty, did we bring his name up?
Batty will be back.
You think Batty will be back?
Mahe will be back.
Okay. So they'll be in pretty good shape.
I don't expect Ellis back. Obviously, Keenan Peely will not be back. Don't know what to think on Heron at this point. But if you're missing Ellis and Heron again, that's a problem, because you need a lot of help with Devin Tompkins and
Brandon Bowling.
Yeah. Those are really good receivers. And this Utah State offense didn't show as well as it could in the red zone against Boise
State. They were great 20-20. It was when they got into the red zone that things fell apart. Utah State had four drives that got inside the red zone, and the total amount of points scored on those four drives,
three.
One field goal. Mm-hmm. They had six drives inside the 50, and again, still only came away with 3 points.
I think BYU had their first empty possession of the season in the second half of this game.
With the blocked field goal?
Yeah, the blocked field goal that really helped South Florida. It fueled them. And they went on another scoring touchdown drive right after that and made this game way closer than it needed to be. So this is always difficult for me because I love to look at the positive side of football, and a win is a win, and wins are tough to come by in college football. And beating South Florida was good. It was solid, and what they did in the first quarter was good and solid. But there are definite holes, definite problems and gaps with having to move guys and having to move positions and some different scheme stuff. I'm not so sure that South Florida came out in the offensive set that BYU's defensive coordinating staff thought that it would. If it felt like BYU was on their heels with what South Florida was doing in the run game.
Yeah.
So there's some problems there, but when you are missing Tyler Batty and Mahe and Heron and Keenan Peely, when you're missing these guys, so what happens, Scotty, is now I'm taking a safety out of his position and I'm trying to put him an outside linebacker in Chaz Ayu. I'm taking two freshmen, including John Nelson and Blake Mangelson. I'm taking two freshmen and trying to play them at defensive end. I'm taking a freshman or a sophomore to try to replace Chaz Ayu, and I'm putting him in at safety. And it's just, you shift everything to try to make up that gap instead of saying, no, you're a safety. You stay at safety. You're a defensive end. You're a freshman defensive end. You stay there. You're a three technique. You stay at that three technique. And I feel like instead of doing that, they were like, well, we got to take and fill the gap and do this, mm-hmm. and this. And now you got all these mix and matches and guys are out of position and guys didn't feel comfortable. They didn't look comfortable. Even even Peyton Wilgar was off his game, way off his game, way off his game. Gave up way too many. Like, instead of coming down the middle of an offensive lineman and blowing him up and putting him on his back, he's trying to cut on the outside leg and go low and completely gets himself out of position and allows a 12-yard gain. It was those kinds of things that allowed South Florida to get going. And I'll just throw out a plug for it. I've got nine film reviews that are up at 1280thezone.com. You just click the Hans film review tab. Nine film reviews that show some of the defensive moments, the lapses. And don't get me wrong, I hate that it is nine game film sessions of negativity or gaps or problems. But outside of that, there weren't a lot of areas. I could get excited. I could show you an entire first quarter, but I don't know.
You don't learn a lot from that.
Yeah. People don't have questions about the first quarter. They've got questions about the second half defensively. So you mentioned it. Who's BYU going to have ready for Friday? That makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Who do they have ready so that I can keep Chaz Ayu where he needs to be? And I can keep Gabe Summers where he needs to be and Lorenzo Fateo where he needs to be? And not put extra responsibility on Peyton Wilgar's plate and not expect a third string corner to come in and defend against. They were athletic wideouts for South Florida, and he was out of position and he got beat a couple of times. One time led to a pass interference call in the end zone that put South Florida first and goal at the 2-yard line. Because, you know, pass interference in the end zone in college football now, it is at the 2-yard line, first and goal. So there was that situation, just kind of a corner dump off that it ended that. And then he was beat in the next drive on a quick streak. And so Scotty, I hope I'm able to paint the picture without being overly negative, paint the picture that there were injury problems that led to some mismatches and shifting that led to some open gaps in South Florida. I don't think South Florida played the style offense that BYU expected.
Yeah.
They didn't. In fact, I know they didn't. I can see it all over the scheme.
All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We'll talk some Utah football coming up next. Also, Kalani Sitake will join us coming up in about 25 minutes from right now. It's all right here on The Zone Sports Network.